if you don't manage your thoughts around the things you care about, that's when it becomes anxiety.
Welcome to What I Love About Sex, where some incredible guests and I, Steph Kanowski, will be bringing you the tools for improving your sex life with topics such as sex issues with your partner, sexual self-confidence, premature ejaculation, sexual shame, masturbation, sharing your fetishes, orgasmic pleasure, and more. Sex is still so taboo, and I personally believe that by improving our understanding and communication skills around sex, we can enhance our own self-pleasure as well as deepening our long-term romantic relationships. So listen in, try to stay open-minded, and let's get started.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm excited to talk about today's topic because I think it might be a good wake-up call or mindfuck for those of you listening. So I was listening to a podcast episode by Layla Hormozi yesterday on my walk, and she brought up something really interesting. She said, people trade the word care for anxiety. Say that again. People trade the word care for anxiety. Instead of thinking, oh my God, I'm so anxious, I have so much anxiety, you can easily trade that to, man, I really care about this. I really care. And see how that changes the perspective you have on the situation, and even how it changes the type of thoughts you have when you use that perspective, right? So a lot of you guys listening may feel like you have a lot of anxiety around your erection, right? Or around something, maybe premature ejaculation, or maybe getting to the point where you will ejaculate. You're like, oh my God, I have so much anxiety around this, and it's, oh my God, and then what if this happens? What if that, right? Because that's the typical thought process that comes from anxiety when you're like, oh my God, I'm so anxious. I'm just worried about this. I'm worried about this, because those are the thoughts that play off that anxious perspective. Whereas if you flipped the perspective, not even flipped, it's really the same thing. If you were like, man, I really care about this. This is really important to me. And, you know, it's obvious from the feelings in my body, I care a lot about having a great sex life. I care a lot about my partner feeling satisfied, and because I want it to go well. Like, I want to feel good. I want her to feel good. I want us to have a good time. I want to feel relaxed, right? It kind of takes you to this, it takes you to a different set of thoughts that have more to do with what you want. Because when you ask yourself, why do I care about this? It more easily can help you think in that way. Of course, you can still be like, oh, I care about this so much, and that's why, what if this happens? What if that? But that easily makes you feel more anxious and more likely to perceive it as anxiety. So just a little mental trick, you know, next time you're telling yourself, I feel anxious, or I am anxious, right? Because that's what most of us say. I am anxious, which is very dangerous. You don't want to do that because you are not anxious. You have an anxious feeling. And just because you have a feeling doesn't mean you can't do something. That's also a limit we put on ourselves, right? It's like, oh, I feel anxious, so the sex isn't going to go well. No, the sex could still go well. You just have to separate from that feeling and not necessarily believe that it's true just because you feel it. So that was something else she was talking about on the episode, was like, feelings aren't true. Don't take action based on how you feel. Don't trust your feelings and wait for your feelings to do something. Do it first, or do it in spite of the feeling, regardless of the feeling. Right? So instead of going into a sex experience being like, oh man, I feel this way, so that means I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to perform. No, that's not true. You're just feeling something. Feelings are valid. which means they exist, but they're not a fact. They're not necessarily true, and they do not have anything to do with the actions you will or will not take. So something to keep in mind so that you can start separating yourself from your emotional state, especially when it comes to making decisions and getting yourself in a state of overthinking, right? Because if you believe you're anxious, then the thoughts around, what if this? I'm worried about this. Oh my God, what if this happens? Those thoughts will be very relevant because it kind of makes sense with how you told yourself, who you told yourself you are or how you feel. And then you're telling yourself, you're kind of like proving it right or proving it true when it's not. So words are powerful. And remember that people trade the word care for anxiety. You could choose the word anxiety or you could choose the words, I really care about this thing. Something else Layla said was, if you don't manage your thoughts around the things you care about, that's when it becomes anxiety. Okay, so if you have something that's really important to you and you really care about it, right, maybe staying erect during sex, and you have a thought that's like, oh man, what if you don't stay erect during sex? Catching that thought, managing it, right? Keeping it at bay, like telling yourself, all right, I definitely want to feel good and let's give it a go and see what happens. Like, you know, we'll just see what happens. When you take that moment of just going straight to keep it in the care perspective of like, yeah, I mean, it would be great to stay hard when I'm with her. We're going to have a good time regardless of what happens. So let's give it a shot. Then you stay in that frame of care, right? If you don't manage your thoughts properly when you really care about something, then it turns to anxiety. So an example of you not managing that well would sound like, oh man, I hope I stay hard and I'm having sex with her. Fuck, what if I don't? I didn't that one time. Oh man, yeah, this is not going to work. Should I call it off? Should I tell her? Should I not tell her? Fuck, like it's so embarrassing. Oh man, maybe I should just cancel the date. See how this spirals? You're just like bringing up different problems because you're not managing the thoughts around what you care about. You're not keeping yourself grounded. I'm trying to think of the phrase. You're basically not managing them and staying in control of them, right? So you got to start noticing when your thoughts go past the point of you being able to manage them. And it's easy to tell this because I've had anxiety before. And boy, have I had anxiety. So I'm familiar with when a thought comes in and then another one comes in, and then another, and another, and another. And like you start thinking about things that you feel like you didn't even come up with consciously. It's like all of a sudden there's five different thoughts that lead into a worse and worse situation. So you want to manage the thought before you get to that point of spiraling where it's like thought, 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 thought. And usually it's after the first or second thought. You want to be like, okay, I'm going to choose not to go there. I'm going to choose to focus on like why I really care about this, why this is so important to me, and what do I really want? You know, I think the most empowering part of this is to remember that you are not anxious. Anxiety is not your identity. It is a feeling. And it's not even necessarily true because you could still take actions that make you nervous or make you feel a certain discomfort, even though you have anxiety. You can still have a great time in bed, even if you're like, oh, anxiety's like present, it's here, I feel it, but it's really just because I care and I'm going to do this thing anyway because I want to enjoy myself. I want to enjoy my partner. I want to have fun. See how that keeps you in this state of groundedness. It has you make a decision despite the feeling. It helps you detach from the feeling because you're like, this feeling doesn't dictate what I do. I'm going to do this thing anyway. Then you show the feeling who's boss. You are the boss. Right? So you gain more control when you realize your feelings aren't true. They're valid. They exist. It's true you have them, but they themselves are not fact. Like, just because you have anxiety does not mean you have to act a certain way or don't act a certain way. So I hope that makes you think twice, especially the next time you either tell yourself that you're anxious and really try not to do that. Really, that's a great first step is whenever you catch yourself saying, oh, I'm so anxious, just be like, there's a feeling of anxiety right now, and it's probably because I care a lot about this thing. But I'm going to continue doing what I want to do. Because, you know, it's okay that the feeling is there, but don't let it stop you. Don't let it suppress you in any way. Don't let it control you or control what you want to do in your life, because you don't have to. And remembering the power of words and how you want to be conscious of what words you're using and how you're using them. For example, what I just said was, try your best not to say, I am anxious, or I am anxious so I can't do X. I'm anxious so I'm not going to be able to stay hard. No, that's not true. So don't tell yourself that. Don't tell your body that. I was talking to my mom the other day and I was saying how I went to get massage work done on my low back. And the next day my back was hurting very badly. And I told my mom, the way I phrased it, I was like, my back was killing me. It was horrible. Oh my God, it was killing me. She was like, Stephanie, watch your words. Like, was it really killing you? And I'm like, no, but it hurt. And she's like, yeah, I'm sure it was really uncomfortable, but was it killing you? You don't have to say that. And I was like, that's true. You're right. It wasn't killing me. And that's not a message that I want in my body. I just don't want it. You know, just like you don't want to welcome certain relationships, keep certain relationships or welcome in certain types of people because you know that they have a bad vibe, negative energy, they're victim-minded, they make excuses for everything. Like, just as you don't want those types of people, or hopefully you don't, in your life, you don't want to be that person for yourself either. Like, you don't want to talk in a way that's not necessary to you improving or feeling happy or growing, you know, in a way that's positive and feels great. So you want to pay attention. It was crazy because even most of my life, I probably up until I was like mid-20s, I would always tell myself I was stupid. I would always say, oh, I'm so stupid. Yeah, I'm so stupid. And whenever I made any type of error in public, I'd just be like, yeah, I'm an idiot. I'm so stupid. And this came from me not excelling in school as a kid and feeling like I did poorly on tests. I wasn't a great test taker. I didn't want to raise my hand ever, afraid of not knowing the answer and then being stupid, you know, like having to stay after class to finish certain quizzes and to wrap my head around concepts. Like, and because of that, I felt different from the other kids and I was like, oh, I must be stupid. And then it became embarrassing. And because it was embarrassing, I had to come up with some type of tactic to alleviate the embarrassment. So I would just flat out tell people I'm stupid. And I saw this a lot with my overweight friends growing up. They would call themselves fat and be like, oh yeah, well I'm fat and disgusting and like whatever. Like I'm like obese, so like whatever. And they would like laugh about it. And I knew that when they did that, it must have been a coping mechanism. You know, because if they call themselves fat, then no one else will. Or if someone else does, it's not that big of a deal because they call themselves that all the time. And I noticed this quick with my overweight friends. And that made me realize I was doing the same thing with my intelligence and the words I chose. And there was a moment where I was like, wow, I'm never going to call myself stupid again. Because I don't want to believe that about myself. And I just, you know, I believe that more and more, the more I tell myself that and the more I tell other people that. And that's, is that really true? Like, no, like people actually tell me I'm smart. And I feel like I'm doing well in my life. I feel like I can hold great conversations with people. You know, I feel like I pick up things quickly in terms of, you know, the things I want to do or the hobbies I try. And, you know, I was just like finding all this evidence of like, wow, like I'm not stupid. And I'm never going to tell myself that again. And I didn't. Like from that day on, I stopped saying that. And I started actually telling myself the opposite. I was like, I'm so smart. And I went through this phase of telling myself how smart I was. And that was the time when I had that voice in my head of kind of undoing the I'm stupid and going to I'm smart. I swear that's when I read the most books. That's when I taught people the most things on social media. Like, and that's when I got the most recognition for actually being smart because people were like, wow, like thanks for teaching me this. And this is so interesting. And you're so good at teaching and breaking things down. So that's an example of how, you know, you change your language, you actually change your life and you change the way you impact other people. And it all starts with you. It starts with you and your internal dialogue. And sometimes it helps to understand, you know, why you say certain things to yourself, but it's also not necessary to do that. You know, you can just decide, hey, I don't like when I say this to myself. I'm just going to choose not to. I'm going to call myself out when I do it. Right? So I'm not perfect. There's still things I say when I slip that I would prefer not to say. Like I just explained last week, I said my back was killing me. Like I don't want to talk like that. So I appreciate my mom calling me out on that. Like I try to call myself out on that if I'm able to see it. And because I know how powerful that is, I know how important it is. And I want you to know how important that is too, especially when you're in that place of doubting your body, you know, feeling like you have to be perfect in bed. And by that, I mean, perform. Like, it's so interesting to me how many guys say, I just wanted to really perform. And it's kind of funny. Like, you're not putting on a performance. Like, it's actually funny to me that guys actually use the word perform. Like, think about it. Like, it seems like it should be like an outdated phrasing, like I need to perform. Because no woman is ever saying, oh, like his performance was terrible. Like none of us talk like that. He can't perform. He's a horrible performer. Like and guys are like, oh, I just want to perform. I want to perform. So think about that word and try to find some ridiculousness in it, because I think sometimes that helps to detach from certain phrases that you're used to saying. If you find them ridiculous, you'll start laughing at them more than you take them seriously. And that in itself is powerful, because when you can laugh something off and see it in a more lighthearted way, you're not going to let it control you and let it hurt you or let it limit you. It doesn't have to. It's how you're perceiving it. So yeah, the whole idea of you performing, like sex is not about you. Like, sorry guys, it's not about you. It's about you and your partner or partners. That's what it's about. And I think the more you realize that and really like understand this isn't you putting on some performance, you're not on a stage trying to impress us, it's not all about your body. Most women don't even prefer penis and vagina sex above other types of pleasure. It's really not the main thing. And if you feel like in your partnership, it's the main or only thing that she's wanting, chances are you guys don't have a lot of other sexual experiences or sexual connection. You know, if you're not having oral sex, or you're not mutually masturbating yourselves next to each other or masturbating each other, you know, if you're not playing with toys, if you're not trying different things, like giving each other really sensual massages, like really slowly, and maybe having some anal play, you know, if there's not a lot of other options, then yeah, you may feel like my dick in her vagina is the only way that this is going to feel good. But most women don't feel the most pleasure from your dick inside of them. It's not the main thing. So take it out of your head that that's what sex is all about, and that's what makes sex amazing. It's not. What makes it amazing is you feeling your best and you wanting your partner to feel best and finding ways to have fun together. That's what makes it sexy. That's what makes it hot. That's what makes both of you coming back for more, because there's a connection, it's fun, it feels really good, and you're able to talk about it so that you can either change the way you're feeling and feel better, or you could try something new. Like, that's what's needed for hot sex. Not your dick being hard 24/7. Like, no one cares about that. I mean, we like when he's hard, of course, but like, you got to take that pressure off yourself. And I think a really great way to start is to change the way you're talking, and the way you're perceiving your sex life. Like, be cautious of the words you're using, right? Try to get rid of the performance phrase. It's not true and it doesn't work for you. Usually it just puts pressure on you when you think that way. And ask yourself, like, what if I, like, why is it that I really care so much about my sex life? What do I want? Why do I care so much? What do I really want to feel? What do I really want to experience? So I'm going to leave you with that question. Think on that. Let those thoughts, I was going to say cloud your mind, but that's not the best phrase. consume your mind, or build on those thoughts, right? Instead of the anxious ones, build on the thoughts of what would be awesome. What do I really want? How can I be better at connecting with her? How can we have more fun? What could we do? These are thoughts that actually help you be curious around going towards what you want versus what you're afraid of. There's no sense moving in the direction of what you're afraid of. It just makes you more afraid. It does not help you or your partner or your sex life together in any way. So don't go there. You don't have to go there. It's not true. It's not even real. I hope this episode was helpful, gave you some reflection. And that's it. Have an amazing morning, evening, or night. Whoa, that was messy. Have an amazing morning, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. Talk to you soon.
I hope this episode helped you. If it did, I would love for you to leave me an iTunes review. It would mean the world to me. You can also screenshot your favorite episodes and tag me on Instagram at Steph Ganowski. And before I go, remember, your sex life is as good as you make it out to be. Until next time.